We're going to be reading chapter 10, beginning at the first verse, Gospel of John, and we're going to continue reading until verse 16. That's not what's written in the bulletin? Oh, my apologies. So we're going to be reading chapter 10, verses 1 through 16. And Sammy, thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate that. let's read together. I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The man who enters by the gate is the shepherd of his sheep. The watchman opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and each sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but they did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, I tell you the truth, I am the gate for the sheep. All who ever came before me were thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Who enters will be saved. He will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd who owns the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and carries nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. We are this week in the 11th message on a series of 18 based in the Gospel of John. The series is entitled John, the Gospel with a Difference, and we will see how two differences, how John's Gospel differs in two ways from Matthew, Mark, and Luke, influence the words that we have read for this morning. We are going to look at this passage and celebrate the good news of the voice of the shepherd. The shepherd image is perhaps the most common biblical image that describes the relationship between God and his people. We find it often mentioned in Scripture. We find it in Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd. We can go to Isaiah 40, verse 7, and find the words there, God tends his people like a shepherd. And because this image of the shepherd is so common throughout the life of the people of Israel and recorded in Scripture in the Old Testament, it's no wonder that Jesus would have known about it and all the people he was talking about it knew about it. And it's no wonder why he used the image and referenced it to himself. We find that this can be done. If we look at Micah 5, verse 11, we find that the image of the shepherd is a reflection or an indicator of who the anointed one or the Christ or the Messiah is to be. There we find the words, he, that is the anointed one, Christ, will stand and a shepherd his flock, and they, that is God's people, will live securely. And so Jesus says to them, I am the good shepherd. But John's gospel, as we know, is a little bit different than Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And one of those differences is that this what John writes here is written 30 years after the first three gospels. And during that time, there were some changes that occurred. When Jesus spoke these words to the people, they were all Hebrews. They understood the Old Testament. They understood the law of Moses. And so when Jesus says to them, I am the good shepherd, they would have automatically understood what Jesus was implying because the image was so familiar with them. 30 years later, the audience has changed. They're no longer Hebrews, they're Greeks. They don't understand the Old Testament, they don't understand any of the imagery, and therefore, you know, Jesus could say, I am the good shepherd, and they'd say, so what? The other change is that the audience used to be people of the pasture. In Jesus' time, shepherds and fields, these were very, very common in Israel. By the time John writes his gospel 30 years later, he's writing to an audience that are not people of the pasture, but they're people of the city. And they may not know anything about what a shepherd does. In much the same way as, you know, we today, we're no longer like a farming community. We're kind of more of an urban, suburban, and you know what farmers do, I mean, some of the stuff that we just don't understand it. I mean, we wouldn't, you know what it means to be a farmer. And so John does something very, very interesting here to get people on the same page so that the people in his time can relate to the voice of the good shepherd. And what he does is, you find Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd, and he says a few more things, I am the gate, and then you find the phrase, but nobody understood what he was saying. And I want to suggest that that's just wasn't true. They would have understood what he was saying. But John inserts the phrase here so that he can go on to explain now to this new audience all of what is meant by Jesus saying, I am the good shepherd. Because John knew when he wrote 30 years later that the audience of these Greek-speaking people, they might not understand anything about how in Jesus' time sheep were stored. In Jesus' time, when you brought in the sheep from the field during the night, they would be put into what is called here a pen. And it doesn't look anything like a, you know, Midwestern cowboy movie corral. The pens that they put sheep in the night were, you know, walls that are about 8 to 10 feet high, usually made of some sort of mud or brick, clay. And there was one way in and there was one way out. And there was a door. And at the inside part of that door, there was a watchman. And their job was to protect the sheep for the night. And John's people wouldn't necessarily know that, you know, the only other way in is to come over the wall. And if you come over the wall, immediately you betray yourself and you know you're a sheep thief. And so in this pen, there were numerous different flocks, okay? And they were all there together during the night. And if a shepherd in the morning wanted to go to get their sheep and to go out into the pasture again, he'd knock on the door and the watchman would open up the door and the shepherd would call the name of the sheep. And the reason why the sheep had names is because the relationship that existed between the sheep and the shepherd was different than in the time of John. In the time of Jesus, people probably didn't know this or had forgotten about it, the relationship between the sheep and the shepherd was much more intimate. It was much more long-term. And the reason why it was long-term is because there was a difference in how they viewed the sheep. In Jesus' time, the sheep were the center of an economy. Okay, so you had the sheep, and you had it for many, many years, and you used the wool for clothing, you used the milk for cheese, you didn't slaughter it. In the city people, The only thing you do with sheep is you butcher them. You know, there is no relationship. Sheep are food. So there's a distinction here that they need to understand if they're going to understand their relationship of God and us and Jesus and the disciple. And so over this long period of time, since there were a long period of time, the sheep had names, just in the same way as our pets have names. And usually it was something like, you know, black ear or something, it was identifiable from a physical characteristic. And because they had names, and because they had a long relationship of a period of years, the sheep knew the voice of the shepherd. And so when he knocked on the door and the watchman opened, he'd say, Leonidas, come on over here. And, you know, Jake, come on over here. You know, Shadow, come on over here. And the sheep knew his voice, and they would go in that direction. All other voices they would ignore. Sheep, they only know one voice, and that is the voice of their shepherd. So if another shepherd went in and called the names of this other shepherd's sheep, sheep wouldn't respond. It's like they don't hear anything. Good shepherd knows the sheep, and the sheep know the voice of the shepherd. And so the voice of the shepherd calls the sheep, and they walk outside of the sheep pen, and the sheep follow them because they follow the voice of the shepherd. And this voice is an interesting voice. It's different than the voice that we commonly refer or hear the God voice in Scripture. There's two voices for God in Scripture. And the one voice of God is very common to us. It is the voice of the Lord God Almighty, who speaks from the heavens to the earth. He is the Olympic God who wreaks havoc and vengeance on humanity. He is the God who splits the earth and speaks and things happen. It is, according to Job, a mighty, majestic verse that bounds in the heavens. In Revelation, John likes it to the voice of a great trumpet that can be heard. And I know that voice because it's my dad's voice. When we had our child, Siobhan was particular because she had her days and nights mixed. And so she would cry all the way through the night. And we were, young parents. And you're up all night with the child, and so you really, when the child is sleeping, the world should really stop making noise. And my father had the habit of coming, what? Yeah, we lived with them. So our daughter's up all night, and she would go to bed probably at like, say, 7 in the morning, and she'd turn off, just like that, and she'd sleep. Now my dad, so when she goes to sleep, Susan and I are like, and you're rolling over in the bed, real gently, nothing happens. And my father would come downstairs, and he would start doing dishes, which was annoying, because you can hear the clank of the dishes. So I go to my dad, and I say, Dad, can you not do the dishes? I know it sounds strange. Okay, I won't do the dishes. So the next day, he comes down the stairs, and he decides to put a new bag in the garbage container. So he has to crinkle the bag. Our daughter just fell asleep. We're like, Dad's going to wake him up. Dad's going to wake the child up. Dad, could you please not wrinkle the bag? No problem. So the third day, he comes down. He doesn't do the dishes, and he doesn't do the bag, but he lets the dog out. So Shadow goes running out the door, and he comes back, and he opens the door, and you hear this big boom of the door shutting. Oh, Dad, you're killing me. So we go to him, Dad, thanks for not doing the dishes, thanks for not doing the bag, but don't let the door slam, really. Siobhan is right there. He's exasperated. He says, okay, I won't do that either. So the fourth day, gets up, don't hear the dishes, don't hear the bag crinkling. You hear the door open, and it gently closes. And we're like, I think we're on Easy Street now. I think we're good. You hear the door open, and then I hear the voice of God. Shut up! Could not believe it. It's just this loud, booming voice. He's never called the dog before. But when my child is born, he has to be the voice of God calling our child. awake. So that's what the voice of God sounds like. And that's really what a lot of people understand the voice of God, you know, the thunder in the heavens. But it's not the only voice. There is a second voice in Scripture, which is much more important. It is the voice of the shepherd. And the voice of the shepherd is much different than the booming voice of God Almighty. It's the voice that we find God prefers to use when we look at a passage like from 1 Kings. In 1 Kings, we find Elijah, who is a prophet, under persecution, and God says to him, "Go to the mountain I'm about to pass, and I will speak to you." So Elijah goes to the mountain to hear God's voice. And the first thing Elijah hears from the mountain is the voice of a mighty wind, of thunder. And Scripture says, but God's voice wasn't in the thunder. The next thing that happens is Elijah hears the sound of a mighty earthquake, but the voice of God is not in the sound of the earthquake. Then comes the sound of a raging fire. Elijah does not hear the voice of God in the raging fire. And behind the wind, and behind the earthquake, and behind the fire, there is a whisper. And that's the voice of God. It is a gentle voice. It's the voice of the shepherd. The voice of the shepherd is an interesting voice because it's not really like words. It's more like sounds that the sheep interpret. It's a sing-songy kind of a melodic kind of sound. I guess, and that's kind of difficult for us to understand. So the analogy I came up with is the voice of Scripture that Jesus employs, which is also a biblical image we find in 1 Kings, can be likened to, the voice of the shepherd can be likened to that of a grandparent voice as opposed to a parent voice. See, a parent voice is very obvious. A parent voice is, stop that. A parent voice is, don't hit your brother. You know, get over here. Sit down. You know, it's very, very direct. You know, and it's built on creating boundaries. Shepherd's voice doesn't sound like that. Shepherd's voice sounds like a grandma or a grandpa voice, okay? Which is, oh, come here. Oh, you know, come over here and sit on mommy's lap. And the kid, you know, knows the voice. He goes over there because, you know, and what does the voice do when it hears dad saying, get over here, you know, running in the opposite direction. But grandma, oh, come here. Would you like a candy? You know? Oh, yeah, I love that voice. I know that voice. I know grandma's voice. You know, when Angela, I've seen Angela interact with Kay. Am I right? You know, mom, you know, Emily can say something. And, you know, little Angela's going to go, you know. But grandma says, come on over here. Right there. That's the voice of the shepherd. Yes, that's right. She goes over and goes like this. You know, the voice of the shepherd is a voice that is gentle in tone. And that's why sheep follow it. You know, and that's why Jesus employs it here to demonstrate the intimate relationship that he seeks to have with his disciples. They know his voice because it is gentle as a whisper, and they follow it because it is gentle and mild. But this image over here of the voice of God is not one that people really resonate with today. And they can't resonate with it because we're taught too much in our own culture that the voice that we need to listen to is the voice that comes from within and not from without. You know, the voice of a shepherd is a voice that comes not from inside the sheep, it comes from outside the sheep and directs them, leads them, protects them. We're taught today that all those things can come from my inside. And there's a problem with that. The problem was defined for me very clearly by an author by the name of Tony Campolo. And in an interview that I was watching for him once, he was commenting on people looking inside themselves to find their inner voice, to find their direction. And he said people do this and they kind of peel away the layers of the onion to get to the core of who they are. you know, to hear the voice from within giving them direction for life. And he said, that's all well and good if you find something when you get to the middle. What do you do if you peel everything away and there's really nothing there? That's a very frightening thing to do. So that doesn't work. The voice of the shepherd is an external voice, gentle and mild, and brings us to where we need to be. The second reason why we can't hear the voice of the shepherd today, same reason in John's time, is there's so many voices out there. City people in John's time had lived in a culture with competing religions and philosophies. You know, they were in a cultic system. There were gods for everything. Gods for trees and fountains and the god of carpentry, the god of whatever. And there was all sorts of philosophical. You had Socrates, you had Plato, you had a dozen other guys all suggesting, you know, the proper ways to live and how to behave. And you just get dizzy listening to all this stuff. And it's the same way today. You go to Barnes & Noble and you go to the self-help improvement aisle, and you're going to see three, four dozen books by three or four dozen different authors, and they've all got the three ways of success. They've all got the five steps you need to take to be a human being. You know, they've all got it, and they've all got it nice and packaged. And where do you start? I mean, where do you go? The good news is, for us who are believers of Jesus Christ, is we know the voice of the shepherd. And there's good news that we have come to know as sheep through the voice of the shepherd. And we know that we have learned from listening to the voice that it is a voice that calms the mind and it quiets the heart. And that's the same thing that the shepherd's voice did for sheep. The sheep lived very anxiously in life. The sheep had things on their mind all the time. Safety was a big thing the sheep were thinking about, and food was a big thing sheep think about. I mean, you can never put enough food in front of a sheep. Always looking for the next meal, the sheep. That's why they never lie down, because it's an unprotected state, but always looking for food, and they're out there, and they're, you know, if you're inside the mind of a sheep, it's like this, you know? The voice of the shepherd calms that. Come over here. Here's the grass. Go ahead. Eat. Nope, not over there. Over here. Nope, not over there. Over here. And when the food is there, the sheep get calm. And they find that they have enough food. The shepherd directs them to enough food so that they do not any longer think about that next meal, and they then do lie down. And that's good news for us. God quiets our mind. Now, I don't know about you, but there's like a gazillion things running around in here during the day. Are you like that? You know? It gets so bad that I have to write a list to keep things in order, because I've got so many things running around in there that I'm not going to remember a thing. If you're anything like me, you put a coffee cup into the microwave, walk away, and can't remember where your coffee cup is. It's because there's too many things running around in there that I'm trying to sort out. Go to God, listen to the voice of the shepherd that says, you know, don't worry. Don't worry about the food for today. But God gives the birds the food. He will certainly remember you. Oh, okay. Okay. Whew, feel better now. Voice of the shepherd, good news. Quiets the heart. The sheep, as I said, they're anxious and they worry about everything. Do I have any worriers here, just out of curiosity?
No.
Yeah, nobody wants to lift their hand on that one. No, me, worry? No, no. I'm in total control. Worry about everything. You know, everything. And I find that as I get older and as I'm looking forward to the birth of our first grandchild, that I worry about that child. I worry about the child's world. I worry about the parenting that the child's going to get, because it won't be as good as our parenting was. I just worry about that. Or here, Liz and I were talking during Sunday school just before, and she was saying that her headaches have cleared up. They found out that she had an infection, an ear infection that was causing these headaches. And she said, you know, I just worried about it. And I said, I know. You know, you look in the mirror, you see a spot. What's the first thing you say? Cancer. You know, you're worried about that. And then your mind begins to, when you start worrying, what happens? You're like way down a road that you don't even necessarily need to be on because you don't have cancer. You know, the voice that comes from the shepherd says, be still. Know that I am your God, and you're going to be okay. I have a plan for you, and I will give you hope. Really? Woo! You know, then I can begin to put the worries aside. That's what sheep do. We have quieter minds. We have peaceful hearts. All because we know the voice of the good shepherd. So just celebrate that voice. And in it, sing praise to God for giving it to you in the words of Jesus as they come to us in John, celebrating Jesus as the good shepherd, the shepherd with the gentle voice. Amen. Amen.